Hi, this is Mark. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you entitled, This is the Life of Faith. What exactly does living a life of faith look like? Is it a life that looks like the rest of the world? Are we limited to the same solutions to our problems as the rest of the world has, or do we have access to solutions ordained by God? If so, how do we access God's solutions and apply them to our problems? We do it by faith. Faith in His Word, standing on the promises He made to us in His Word and believing that those promises are producing results, even when the natural circumstances don't look like it. This is the life of faith. I hope that you're blessed by this Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the Word that You have given to us, telling us who we are and what we have as believers. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will learn how to walk in Your Word, how to trust You, take You at Your Word, believe Your Word, and see the results that Your Word tells us that we are to have. Because that's what we want. We want to be effective believers. We want to see results. Heavenly Father, it is possible, and I know that it is, and I thank You for helping to show us how to accomplish these things. Holy Ghost, You are the teacher. We welcome You here tonight to teach us. Thank You. Thank You for revealing truth to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've accomplished on our behalf. And I come against right now the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring any distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at the aspects of faith, walking by faith. And one thing that the Holy Ghost was impressing on me before we went on the air this evening is that this isn't just, and I'll use this terminology because it's familiar to a lot of people. Living the life of faith isn't just being a member of the quote-unquote faith camp or the Word of Faith people, like that's a segment of the body of Christ that we don't all have to participate in. It's only the fringe people that live that way. See, that's kind of a misconception. Living by faith isn't just for that fringe group of people. It's for all of us. You didn't come. No person came to Jesus without faith. And it was believing in something or someone that you couldn't see, in believing that you had something before the manifestation took place. It had to be that way. In other words, you didn't get saved and then confess that you were saved. No. In order for a person to come to Jesus and receive salvation, they first have to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and then they're saved. When they're doing that, at that moment, are they saved? No, they're unsaved. They're still spiritually dead. They're receiving it. But when they begin doing it, the reality is that's not the way they are. They're unsaved. But then you look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you do what Paul instructed us to do in order to be saved. And it says that we are to, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It didn't say you were already saved and then you confessed and believed. No. You confess, you believe, and then you receive it. See, so what's your point, Mark? My point is, the life of faith, the life that we have as believers, began with this type of believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth before you actually have the thing. So we're not talking about something that only belongs to that fringe group of kind of, you know, wild-eyed people, that word of faith group. This word of faith is everybody, because that's how we are saved, is by faith. And it's not just, it's not supposed to be limited to just the salvation experience. It is supposed to be a way of life that we live each and every day. And I'm finding out that that's not necessarily the case with people. I'm finding out, lo and behold, that people have this misconception that they can just approach God however they want to, and it'll be okay. And they can come to Him with all kind of wild ideas, and God will just answer their prayers. No, He won't. Not just based on your wild ideas or what you think. He responds based on what? His written word that he gave to us. This is how He operates. This is how He responds to us, and how we're to respond to Him through His word. So this misconception that people have, that I'm just going to pray whatever kind of prayer I want, and God's going to hear me, or the flat misconception that they have about God, that particularly His will for their life, God's will for them. What's God's will for them? And a lot of people have some strange ideas. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm holding right here in my hand what His will is for mankind. These 66 books, particularly the New Testament, particularly the epistles that were written to us. That's His will for us. That's His will. His will is good. It's not evil. I'm just shocked from time to time when I hear Christians, they're attributing the will of God to really what Satan's doing in their life, and they can't see the difference. And it shocks me. It's like they actually have God and the devil confused in their mind. And they're thinking that the evil things happening in their life, well, that's God. It's His will. That's just the way it is. Oh, baloney. His will is right here. This is His will. And you'll never be able to change what 1 Peter 2:24 says when it comes to His will regarding whether or not you're supposed to be sick or healed. Oh, just look at it real quick, because I'm on my soapbox right now. So let's look at this. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. His will never change when it comes to you being healed. It will never change. And if we have the misconception that the evil things happening in our physical body, sickness, disease, pain, malfunctions of any kind, that in any way that's God, in any way trying to either teach us something, or that's just His will for us, you're taking this verse out of 1 Peter 2:24 and you're basically throwing it away, because God doesn't have two wills. It's either this written word of God is His will for you, or it's not. I know that it is. So His will for you regarding healing is that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. How was that? It was because Jesus paid the price for your redemption. He paid the price. So what's required on your part? The same thing that's required for you to be saved. What is that? To believe in your heart, to confess with your mouth, to receive it by faith.
believe that you have a thing before you see it in the natural. I know that goes completely against what we are taught in this natural world. We're taught to believe it because we see it. There it is. I can believe it because it's there it is in the natural. So now I believe it. No, if we're going to live according to the way God lives and or exists and the way he wants us to live, we're going to have to believe it first, confess it first with our mouth, and receive it into this natural world. Receive it first into the spirit and then receive it in this natural world later. And that's not something that comes natural to people. And that's why a lot of times when this is taught, it gets a lot of, there's not a lot of rave reviews for it. And yet, it's hard to understand why. It is so clear. It's so clearly written in the Bible, so clearly written in the New Testament, that this is the way God is and expects us to be, that I wonder if people just simply don't read the Bible. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But this is where the Holy Ghost prompted me before we went on the air to begin. And it's in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is, so here we're going to see the definition of faith. It is the substance of things that are hoped for. Now, when you hope for something, do you have it in the natural? Like, for example, I'm holding this glass of water in my hand. Am I hoping for this glass of water? Of course not. It's here. It's in my hand. I'm not hoping for it anymore. So when it says the substance of the things that are hoped for, these are the things that we don't have in this natural world, but it's something that we want to have. So faith is the substance of those things, the things that are hoped for, the evidence of the things, and this is what I want to really hone in on, the evidence of the things that are not seen. And that's where there's such a disconnect. You know, people when they first learn about confessing, and when I say confessing, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page here. I'm not talking about the confessing of your sin. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're making a confession based on what the Word of God says about you, or says regarding what a promise that the Bible says belongs to you. So what you're doing is confessing that you believe you receive that promise, and it in the natural at that moment it won't look like you've received anything. But you have to believe in your heart. How and what's it based on? It's based on his word to you and the fact that God, thank God for it, he can't lie. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So, first of all, you have to come to the conclusion in yourself that this word of God that I'm holding up here, this is God's word to you, unfallible, his unfallible word to you, that it was God breathed. Yes, man wrote it down, but it was God inspired. And you have to come to that conclusion that, okay, this is God's word to me. So what this says in here about me, or what it promises me, this is the same as if God was standing right in front of me telling me, okay, Mark, this is what I guarantee this. And he did guarantee it in the blood of Jesus, that I will not fail you, that I will never leave you. Hallelujah. See right there? just saying that, God's presence just came all over me. I'll not leave you, Mark. I'll not forsake you. If you can believe that, I believe. I'm telling you what, I believe it. What he said to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 5, I will not fail you. God will not fail us if we refuse to move off of his word. If we will just, like the image I have inside is like this pit bull. You know what a pit bull dog is? They grab hold of something with their jaws locked, and you just can't shake it out of. You can't get it out of their mouth. It's just, see, that's what I see. When I see true faith believing God's word, I mean, you got to understand, there is an enemy, but he's defeated. But see, if he, the enemy, the devil, can convince you that he's not defeated, he's going to whip your tail every single time. But see, Jesus told us, hold your place there in Hebrews. Jesus told us about the devil in John chapter 10, verse 10. So turn over there with me. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus told us about the enemy. He said, the thief, that's the devil, Satan, okay, comes not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. So when you see stealing, killing, destroying happening in your life or in your family, don't ever get confused. Don't ever wonder, gee, I wonder if that's God. Or maybe God's trying to teach me something. Or maybe this is God's will. Absolutely not. That would go against the word of God. You see stealing, you see killing, you see destroying, you're seeing the face of Satan. And you have to understand something. He has been defeated on your behalf. So, Brother Mark, tell me something. How come I see this killing, stealing, and destroying taking place? It's because we allow it to happen. Not that God allows it to happen. See, that's another misconception that I hear frequently out of the mouth of Christians that just don't know any better. Well, God allowed something to happen. God allowed this. God allowed that. Maybe it wasn't his will, but he allowed it. Or I don't even know how they put that line of reasoning together, because it's so convoluted. If God were going, if that idea of God allowing something was really true, and God could have stopped it, see, that's the underlying idea is, well, he could have stopped it, but he didn't. He allowed it. See, when you say allow, that means that, you know, he could have stopped it, but he allowed it. All right. Then what happened with Adam on the way to the tree when he partook of the forbidden fruit? Did God just allow it? What's up with that? No, the truth of the matter is that God, because God is love, and because he loves us, he has given us the choice as to whether or not we are going to obey him. What happened before that tree incident? God had already told him, you can partake of all of the fruit of all the trees in the garden except for that one. So that was God's word to Adam. Did Adam obey that word? No. He chose his choice, because Adam and all of mankind are free will moral agents. We have a choice. Are we going to obey God or not? It has nothing to do with God allowing or not allowing. It's us. It's our choice. Are we going to choose to believe God and take him at his word or not? And get this idea out of your head that the bad things that are happening, that it's somehow God trying to teach me something. As long as you feel that way, as long as you believe that, you're going to be hemmed in by the enemy constantly trying to convince you that it's God and you need to learn your lesson. Oh, baloney. That's just not true. Because, and how can you say that, Mark? Because it doesn't line up with this word right here. It doesn't line up with the word of God. He can't use sickness and disease to teach you something. Why would he even want to? To me, my heavenly Father, who I love deeply, for him to use the enemy as the whipping boy for the body of Christ would be child abuse, wouldn't it? Would you, as a parent, go find the criminal of the town to come and teach the worst criminal of the town? Let's put it in the right perspective. Would you go find the worst criminal, the most sadistic criminal that you could ever find in your town to come and teach your little babies, teach your children? Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. So until a believer gets this straight in their mind, who is the enemy? The enemy is Satan. And God's word to me, that's what I'm to believe. Glory to God. I'm to believe his word. I'm to hold on to his word, because his word, his promises to me will produce in my life if I can believe. Hallelujah. This is good. I'm excited. So let's go back again to Hebrews 11. Let's read it one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's evidence? Oh, you see all these shows on TV, crime scene investigation, and what are they looking for? They're looking for evidence. Evidence that something has happened here. We want evidence. Well, what's the evidence for us? The evidence is really right here, God's word. Yeah, that is our evidence. And when we will believe it and confess it, we will see the results. The evidence of the things that are not yet seen. You don't see it at the beginning. When I confess that I receive a thing, at that moment, do I see it in the natural? No. But I have to believe it first in my heart. Now, what is my confession based on? My confession is based on his word. And the fact that, and I say his word, God's word to me. And the fact that I know he can't lie. So, let's say, for example, that horrible symptoms, and it's easier sometimes to use physical ailments in these type of illustrations to help us to get a handle on receiving by faith. Because if your body is being attacked with symptoms of something, you know, whether it's, you know, a headache, or more serious, your blood pressure is just going crazy, or you name it. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen in your body. So you're seeing the symptoms manifesting in your body. So that's what you see in the natural. And a lot of times, I mean, it's accompanied by pain. So it's not hard to miss. and now, you know, I want relief. What do I want? I want what God's word says belongs to me. That's what I want. And I'm not going to be confused into thinking that somehow in God's great scheme of things that this is his intent for me. No. See, As long as I believe that, how can I ever pray otherwise? If this is his intent for me, well, it would be against his will for me to pray for healing, wouldn't it? So that has, I got to get that straightened out first. Once that's straight, and once I'm believing that, okay, His word is His will. So if I see in His word that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, then that's what His will is for me. And there's no two ways around it. That's it. That's settled. Now, at the moment that I believe that word, 1 Peter 2:24, the moment I believe it, in my physical body, there may not be 1 ounce of difference when I begin to confess. I believe that I receive first the healing in my body according to 1 Peter 2:24. I believe I receive it. I call my body healed and made whole from this moment on. I receive what Jesus did for me at Calvary. I'm redeemed. And that word saved, sozoed, means healed, saved, delivered, completely made whole. I receive that in my body. All right. So at that moment, my body, you know, here's what a lot of people do. They'll pray, and the next thing they do, they check it. They check their body. Well, it's no different. Well, God, what then? What's the next thought? Oh, God must not have heard me. Oh, boy. And I wonder, you know, do they think, what are they, how are they picturing God at that moment? And this is really good. How are they picturing God at that moment? That God's sitting there wondering, gee, have they been a good enough boy or girl for me to heal them? See, that's ridiculous, because that's not what this is about. It's not about your good actions or bad actions. It's about what His word says. Now, you know, there are hindrances to faith. If you're, you know, if you're bound up with all kinds of sins, you need to repent, you know. Or if you're bound up with all kinds of unforgiveness, you need to forgive. Forgive the people that's wronged you. Forgive them in your heart. Forgive them, because that will hold up this whole process. But if you've forgiven the people, if you've repented for anything that you've done wrong, when you pray, you have got to believe at that moment that you receive what you have petitioned for. You receive what God's word says belongs to you right then, no matter how your body looks. The minute you say amen, that body may scream at you and tell you that I'm not healed, I'm not healed, I'm not healed. And it's what you do in those seconds that are going to determine whether or not you're going to walk in your healing, what Jesus has already paid the price for you, or whether you're not. It's the truth. And Mark, have you been there? Listen, I can't teach this if I hadn't walked through this. I'll be honest with you. This is not theoretical. I'm not telling you this. I'm not teaching this to you based on some theory that I read in a book somewhere. This is coming from the experiences that I've had where I have stood on God's word and watched the manifestation taking place. Now, does it happen immediately? Oh, you know, that would be wonderful if the physical manifestation always happened instantly. Now, you can look through the Gospels when the people came to Jesus, or let's say like the woman with the issue of blood, when she received her healing, because we've already looked at that previously, where it says that Jesus looked at her after he realized that virtue had gone out of him. He turned himself about in the midst of the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" He realized that someone had made a demand on the anointing inside of him. She had received her healing. He turned around and he dressed her. She said what she had done, and he said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith. So it was her faith that in believing that caused that to take place. So, and it's going to be the same with you. It's your faith. that's going to cause this miracle that you're believing God for to happen. You're not trying to talk God into anything. That's the bottom line. We're not begging God. We're not going to Him hoping and praying that we're going to get something from Him, because you never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do. See, that right there is a religious, and I say quote-unquote religious, and I'm talking about religious, like religion of the Pharisees, not good. That's religion to the 10th power. We just never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do. He does exactly what His Word says. What person would you ever trust who would tell you something, give you their word on something, and then turn right around and do the opposite? Would you ever trust that person? Absolutely not. About the first time that I ever saw that person tell me something and then turn around and do the opposite, that immediately, that person is, that they're not truthful, they are not faithful to their word, and you cannot count on them. And I would not trust them. Do you think that our Heavenly Father is like that? That our Heavenly Father would give us His word and then renege on His word? Are you kidding me? See, that's where you get the confidence to make the stand of faith. Even when your physical body is screaming at you, telling you you're sick, you're going to die. You're so sick, you're going to die. You got so much pain you can't hardly see straight. And sometimes you don't see straight. And what are you going to do? What comes out of your heart in abundance at that second, at that very moment? Is it fear? Are you, God, I'm just going to die? Is that what's going to come out of your mouth? Or are you going to speak to your body, to command your body to line up with the Word of God? Because it's at that second, right then, whatever is in your heart in abundance is going to come out of your mouth. And if you haven't taken the time to put God's word inside of you, and not just read it, but speak it out your mouth. Say it over yourself. You know, we shared this a few weeks ago, where the verses in the New Testament, particularly in the epistles, talking about who we are in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in whom. Those are those word combinations, locating those in the epistles, writing them out, and then making a confession, a first person confession about yourself based on those verses. It's beginning to understand who you are as a believer, and making that confession and saying, in addition to just making the confession, saying, this is who I am. Hallelujah. This is what I have. And before we went live tonight, the Holy Ghost prompted me to get the confessions that I've made written out over some of these. I'm not going to read all of these. To be quite honest with you, at this point, I've only done 10 verses and made 10 confessions out. Why only 10, Mark? Well, I know how I am. I know that if I try to sit down and write out all 134 of these, that most likely I'm going to become so overwhelmed that I'll just not do any of them. And I'm more interested in doing these than I am, you know, feeling that I have to write all these 134 out. No, just get some that really speak to your heart, And if it, you know, if it takes 20 or 30 or 40 or however you want to approach it, but I would really encourage you to do something. And let me just show you a couple of these. And here's what I've noticed. As I've done these over myself, and I do them in the morning, I come back from walking the dog. I'll sit down and make these in him confessions. And I'm telling you what, I have noticed that a lot of times I'll come to certain verses, I'll say them, and the joy of the Lord just begins to bubble up inside of me. Oh, it's hard to contain it. Sometimes I don't contain it. I don't want to. This is who I am. This is what I have. Let me read a few of these. For example, Romans 8:2, the verse says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That right there is one of the most powerful verses. It tells you who you are, what you have in Christ Jesus, that you're no longer subject to the law of sin and death. See, that's what the whole world is under the influence of. But you as a believer, and I as a believer, and everyone else who's made Jesus the Lord of their life has been redeemed out. They're not subject to the law of sin and death. You've been redeemed out of that, and now you're subject to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So here's my confession. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. So what's involved with the law of sin and death? Everything that you see in the world that was the result of the fall of Adam. Everything. That is the result of the law, the enacting of the law of sin and death. Poverty, sickness, disease. See, you've been redeemed out of that. You've been redeemed out of poverty. You've been redeemed out of sickness, disease, out of all that horrible mess. That you say, but Mark, we still live in this world. Yes, we're in this world, but how does it say? We're not of this world. We're of another world. We've been born again. We are the children of the living God. Let that sink into you. You are a child of God. To really be more accurate, you're a son. Either whether you're a male or a female, positionally speaking, you have the position of the firstborn, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You're a son. Hallelujah. A son of the living God. Does that just do something inside? It does something inside of me. I'm not that same old person that used to live in this body. That person died the death of the cross in Jesus, in Him. See, I identified in Him. I said, Jesus, I identify myself in You. I receive what You did on my behalf. At that moment, when I did that, when I got saved, did I feel any different? I may have felt a little goosebump or something, but it's not based on what you feel. Because we're talking about something that happens in the spirit, not in the natural. See, there is a world of the spirit. You are a spirit. You live in this physical body. But you're a spirit. And we are surrounded. We just don't see what surrounds us in the world of the spirit. Are there demon spirits? Yes, there are. Are there angels? Yes, there are. And it surrounds us. We just don't see it. Well, I don't believe it. Well, you don't have to. You believe it, don't believe it. It doesn't change the reality of it. So let me go back to this, and then we'll get to that in a little bit. Let me read another couple of these in Him. There's a couple in particular Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Glory to God. Jesus has been made this unto us. Are you righteous? Say it. Say, I am righteous. Say it. I am righteous. Not in yourself. You didn't make yourself righteous. You believe that you received when you accepted what Jesus did for you. You said, I identify myself in him. Well, look at what it says here. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. So, because you're in him, he's been made this unto you by God. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Are you sanctified? I am sanctified. You know, some people are trying to get sanctified. I'm sanctified because Jesus has been made this for me, unto me. Am I righteous? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, I am his right. He is my righteousness. I could say that the right way. Am I redeemed? Oh, yes, I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. I didn't earn it. Jesus became this for me. You see how that works? These are, and then you can say, this is who I am. This is what I have. And see, what you're doing as you confess this, you're affecting your own heart, what you believe inside. And that's what needs to change. Instead of believing what the world says about you, we need to believe what God's Word says about us. Because you think the world's going to ever look at you and say, oh, you're righteous. Oh, heavens, no. But the truth of the matter is that you are righteous in his righteousness. Because why? Because God's Word says that you are. And that's all that you need. There's another one in here that I want to read. Well, let me read this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. I am anointed. I am in Christ Jesus. I am anointed of God. I'm in Christ. I am anointed of God. Say that. Just say that about yourself. See, it'll start building up inside of you who you really are. This is who I am. This is what I have. I'm not that loser that the devil keeps trying to tell me that I am. No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have the wisdom of God. I am redeemed from the law of sin and death. And bless God, I am anointed of God. Now look at this next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, look at that word, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Look at that word. Always causes us to triumph. Always. How much is always? Oh, it's 50% of the time, Mark. No, it's not. Always is 100% of the time in Christ Jesus. It comes by believing. Believing God's word, what he says about you. This is who I am. This is what I have. Not what some religious-minded person has tried to indoctrinate me with that is not based on the word of God. No. See, that's what's got to be rooted out. And that's where the problem is. Rooting that stuff out from the inside of us. However it gets in there, it's gotten in there, and we got to get it out, and we have to substitute it with the Word of God, what God says about us. Amen. All right. Now, before we, as we come down here to the end tonight, what I really believed coming into this that we were going to talk about tonight, and we have talked about it to a certain degree, but really honing in on, is the idea of not seeing in this natural world what we're confessing with our mouth. And there's a verse, and well, let me, before we go to that one, Romans, we've touched on this one last week, Romans chapter 4, verse 17, you know, this talks about that very thing. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, talking about Abraham there. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not. See, when they be not, it means the way they look in the natural is not the way that the Word of God says that they should look. They be not, and then the last part, as though they were. Be not as though they were. The going back to Hebrews 11:1, the faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. We don't see it yet. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to us the instant that we lay claim to it and receive it by faith. See, that the ownership of it comes into our hands that moment, even though the manifestation in this natural world may not be there for hours or days. We confess we have a thing before we see it manifested in this natural world. That's where the rub is. That's where people struggle. They think, well, I'm just lying about this. No, you're not. If you're saying what God's Word says about you, you're not lying. Even though to all your natural senses, your five senses, it doesn't look like anything has changed. And I refer back to Mark chapter 11 when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, and that's the same chapter that we have the famous faith verses, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Leading up to those verses, Jesus spoke to a fig tree. And he said that there will be no fruit from you ever again. And they kept walking. You know, at that moment, did that tree just drop dead? No. They walked away. They went to Jerusalem. And when they came back the next day, Peter looked at that tree. And now they could see that it was dead from the roots up. Did death enter that tree the moment that Jesus said those words? Oh, sure it did. But you couldn't see the physical manifestation at that moment, but you saw it the next day. So you say a thing before you see the physical manifestation, but it's just as real to you, and that's the key. It has to become just as real to you as if it was sitting right in front of you, or your body was that way at that moment. That's the key. That's the key right there. And it's kind of slippery to me, because I've been dealing with this here as of late in my own body. Just that aspect of believing. And it's not, you don't have to work yourself up to it. Yes, there is a confessing and worshiping the Lord and thanking Him for what you believe that you receive. And there's a changing of the thoughts of your own mind. That's so important. But the actual believing of it, it comes out of your heart. And it's not like you have to... I'm trying to put words to this, because I've found this to be the case in my own life. I'm not trying to believe. I'm simply believing. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to do this. I'm doing it. See, as long as you're trying to believe something, it's really not yours yet. But the instant that that trying changes and becomes, I do believe. I believe. It's mine. Now, has the full manifestation come into this natural world yet for the things that I know are mine? At this moment, there's still some things that need to come in line. But I believe. I don't see myself as a sick person trying to get healed. I see myself as the healed person because that's what God's word tells me that I am. And I believe him. I believe his word. See, as long as I'm trying to get healing, it's still out just beyond my reach. But the moment I say, no, God, I believe. I'm not trying to believe. I believe. I believe. I take you at your word. I have this. See, that's a whole different scenario. See, there are people that are fighting with this, especially with the health of their bodies. Do I go to the doctor? Is that a lack of faith? And to be honest with you, those two things, that it has nothing to do with it. Because the believing is of your heart and it's based on his word inside of you. If you need some relief, get some relief by all means. That is not a lack of faith. But I will say this, go with your faith intact. Don't leave your faith at the house and go to the hospital because that's a mistake. That is a definite mistake. But, and I say that because going or not going is not a determinant as to whether or not you have faith. It's not. Faith is, I take God at his word. I believe it. I believe it. And I have the corresponding action. The corresponding action is, that body, you are whole. See, a lot of times saying it is that corresponding action. Body, you're whole. Why? Because I say you're whole. Heart, you beat properly. You are whole. Arteries, you are clean and elastic. Blood flows through my body perfectly, cleansing my body of all disease and impurities. See, I say this every day over myself. That's why it comes out of me, because it's inside of me. See, that's what causes this to work. And if you're not, what are you saying about yourself? Are you saying things that are perpetuating sickness and disease? Are you saying things that are perpetuating lack? Are you saying things that are perpetuating family problems? What are you saying? Say his word. Don't say anything else. Just say his word. And say, well, Mark, I still feel like I'm lying. Okay, turn over. This is where I thought we would get to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm going to read this. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's this natural world, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or in other words, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So, what are you looking at? Are you just looking at this temporary world? Are you looking at what you can see? Or through the eyes of your faith, are you seeing beyond this natural world? See, this word of God inside of you will paint a picture in your spirit of what belongs to you. And then you reach out with your faith and receive it. Oh, that's good right there. See, the Word of God, as you feed yourself, feed it, feed your spirit, saying it with your mouth, not just reading it, but you have to say it too. As you do that, you're equipping the Holy Ghost with what He needs, and He, like the artist, will paint the picture on the canvas of your heart, and you reach out with your faith, and you receive what belongs to you. And at the moment that you confess it and receive it, maybe your body or your situation doesn't look any different at all, but you hold fast to what you see through the eye of your faith. You hold fast to what the Word says about you. Don't look at the natural, because the natural is subject to change. The enemy can affect this natural world. And if you look at it and you focus on it, he can convince you that you don't have anything. Your faith isn't working. And do you think he's not going to say that to you? Oh, for crying out loud. Yes, he is going to tell you, your faith, Mark, your faith doesn't work. It's not working. This isn't working, Mark. It's not working. It's not working. I mean, that's his mantra. That's what he says all the time. It doesn't work. God's word won't work. And he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So the more he says that, the more I have to be convinced it is working. It is working. And all the time you've got this mad dog of a crazy devil trying to convince you, it's not working. You're a failure. It's going to fail. The whole ministry is going to fail. Nothing's going to work. It's all for naught. And if you focus your attention on that liar, you're going to follow him down that road to destruction. I choose to focus my attention on God's never changing word, what he says about me. And you can take this to the bank. It will never change. And you stand on it, and you command your circumstances to line up with what God's word says about you, and bless God, it happens. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my own life, in my own body, in my own finances. I've watched it. I've watched it go from impossible to where it looks like a train wreck to the answer. Did it happen overnight? Did it happen when you wanted it to happen, Mark? It happened. That's the important part. That's the important part. And it happened because I refused to turn loose of God's word. Hallelujah. I hope you receive something tonight from this, because this isn't that fringe group of people way out there with a wild eye, crazy, talking. This is the way God is, and the way he expects his children to approach him. This is the life of faith. And if we're going to receive from him, we have to do it based on the way he wants us to, which is the way he is. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have done I've done my best to deliver this message as you have placed it in my heart, and I pray that people that have listened to it tonight and will listen to it in the future, that they will receive the truth that's in it, and that they will purpose in their heart to do what your word says to do, to see beyond the natural, to see through the eye of their faith what you have made available to us already, and receive it by faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you for grace to help the individual that is just starting down this path. Help them, I pray, with your grace, to make that transition from just looking at the natural and being governed by the natural to looking at through the eye of their faith and seeing the impossible become possible. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the